This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home in this beautiful Monday. And I'm so happy to be in the studio again. And today I have with me Ren from Singapore as our co-host and Alina from Romania. And I'm so happy to introduce our guest, who is also our co-host usually each Monday. And this is Brian from the U.S. And Brian just recently came back from El Salvador, and he's so excited, and I'm so excited to hear his story. No introduction on that, Brian. Just tell us, you recently been to El Salvador. Would you like to?
Oh, yes. So you've recently been to El Salvador. Could you share your experience, or why were you there in the first place?
Yeah. Sure. It's nice being back in the guest seat here. I get to talk
nice.
More. Yeah, I get to talk more, so I like to talk.
Yeah.
El Salvador is a country in Latin America, for those listeners who don't know. When I talk to people about it, a number of people have asked me where in the world that is.
And exactly.
They're not
good
so
question.
Sure. Mm. So yeah, it's pretty much in the center of Latin America. Latin America from the south goes Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and then is it El Salvador to the north of that? I believe it is. And Guatemala, Honduras are in that area.
Mm.
So it's on the west coast of Latin America there. And I ended up going there because a good friend of mine has been spending a lot of time there. And that's going to be a backstory in itself. You can ask me about how my friend has ended up spending so much time there.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good question. And I think you already have the training because you can ask questions. And you can also answer them, right?
I'll interview myself.
You can interview yourself, right?
So he asked me to go there for him because he had recently been an investor in a 23-acre piece of land up a valley near the beach. The beach area is called El Zante / Surf City / Bitcoin Beach. We'll underline the Bitcoin. That goes into the backstory.
Yeah.
It's up this quite a rural road that, you know, is a typical kind of developing country neighborhood, lots of farming, kind of shacks, pretty rough. And there's a field that the investors, including my friend, had bought. And they're going to be developing that into a housing development with 21 homes on it, as
Amazing.
Well as a group home that will serve as a retreat for women rescued from human trafficking, who are also mothers. So it's going to house the rescued women as well as their children.
Mm.
So because of my background in soil and water, environmental science development things, he asked me to go there to do some consulting work on the land, get an idea of the water and the soil situation. And yeah, I got out there, checked it out, and the question I came up with immediately was, what are you going to do with all this land? I know there's going to be 21 homes. I know there's going to be a group home. I know you want to keep this fruit forest, which is already there. There's over 100 fruit trees. I know that's going to stay. What else are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, well, that's about it. That's all we know.
Mm-hmm.
I said,
yeah.
Well, let's do something with this. Let's take this, because it's already... it used to be used in agriculture, and I have a background in agriculture that's adjacent to my soil science and environmental science work. And I said, let's turn this into a food producing area that also has homes, but there's going to be a lot of kind of marginal land and public land that's part of the development. Let's make that productive and turn this into what I call an agrihood, which incorporates permaculture principles, which we've heard about mentioned a few times on the show so far. And I've got a background in permaculture work. Let's turn this into productive land. It makes sense for a number of reasons, including offering income-generating activities for the women in the rescue. So they'll be tending the land, working in the animal husbandry area with the chickens, with the eggs, potentially with goats and milking and making cheese, taking those things to market. It's just an opportunity to do a lot of good in an area that I'm now working to design, which is super, super exciting.
Yeah, because you saw a gap and you were able to think of something that filled it, right? Yeah.
Right, and there's a lot of really special, smart people that are part of the project who are also very open-minded. And so any idea that I had, and they'd say, yeah, let's do that. There's really a 23-acre blank canvas sitting there.
Wow.
I get to paint with a brush, essentially.
Yeah.
I really like working with big ideas, and it's a really special group of people that are working together. The woman that's in charge of getting that rescue home established there, that's called the House of Life. Mm-hmm. There's already one House of Life in El Salvador. And her mission is to spread this type of, she refers to it as regenerative real estate around El Salvador, where there's social benefits of these developments. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, sounds like an exciting project coming up, to keep you occupied in, So tell us about your trip. Like, are there any other aspects to it that you'd like to share?
The food was delicious.
Nice.
I was introduced to pupusas, which
What is that?
Super,
sounds very exotic.
Super delicious. It's kind of a comfort food, kind of cheap fast food. They are kind of thick tortillas, almost like a flatbread, but slightly more tortilla style. And they're stuffed with things like cheese and meat and jalapeno peppers, and they're fried and piping hot, and you put salsa and cabbage on top of it, like a cabbage salsa.
Yeah.
And with the melted cheese and the fried tortillas, oh my gosh, it is so, so, so delicious. And they're so cheap. They're like less than $1.50 a piece. So you get
amazing.
For $6.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. So that was really nice. It doesn't fit in with my typical diet, but I'm traveling. It's a cultural experience.
Yeah.
The people of El Salvador were just so friendly, super happy, smiling, optimistic, excited.
Amazing.
Rapid development is happening in El Salvador right now. And the real estate market is just on a tear for a number of reasons. And a lot of this has to do with their new president. I forget his first name, but his last name is Bukele, who was voted into office in 2019. And at the time he took office, gangs were essentially running the country. There was no functional economy whatsoever. The gangs ran the neighborhoods. It ran everything, and people were not really free to travel within the country. When there are certain sections they couldn't travel through, a person from one area could not open a business in another area. There was not a functional economy there.
Yeah, that's my impression of El Salvador when I first heard it. Safety is not a place that,
Right. So when Bukele took power there, It was one of the most dangerous countries in Latin America and therefore the world. Mm. Now it is one of the safest countries in the Americas.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think it's as safe as Canada, which means it's one of the safest countries in the world now.
Wow. We should move there now, like the way you promote it, right? Yeah.
Coming from the States, I feel extraordinarily safe in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of gun violence here is quite significantly different from the States. And people are just not as aggressive.
Mm. Yeah.
So I feel very, very safe here. Mm-hmm. I felt as safe in El Salvador as I do in New Zealand, which is a very significant statement for me to say.
Mm. Yeah.
There's the safety aspect of it. There's the people who are super friendly and happy and just excited about the opportunity that they now have in the country because the economy is completely opened up.
Yeah.
It was an uninvestable country before because there was not a functional economy. Now there's foreign dollars pouring in.
Yeah.
There's also a large Bitcoin community developing there. And that, brings a lot of wealth to the country as well as a different type of mindset. And I would like for the conversation to kind of steer towards that, which is, why my good friend who sent me to El Salvador, why he's been spending so much time in El Salvador, and the impact that Bitcoin has had in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So some statistics about El Salvador that I'd prepared.
Mm. Oh, amazing. Good.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so the population growth rate has risen over time since Bukele has taken power.
Mm.
I believe a relatively significant portion of that is because it's become more safe.
Yeah.
And people are coming, anecdotally, from the El Salvadorians that I've spoken to, people are moving back to the country from the United States.
Mm.
They fled, they left because it was not safe.
Mm.
There was no economic opportunity there. The only opportunity there was to join a gang.
Uh-huh.
And now those gangs are now in prison, wiped out.
Mm. Wow.
It's now safe.
Managed that, right? I mean, it's quite impressive. Mm.
Yeah, so there's been, I heard some pretty wild stories about that process. So Bukele set the military out against the gangs. It was martial, that's what it took.
Mm.
And from the stories I've heard, there has been collateral damage in terms of maybe, people who may not have been associated with gangs getting thrown into these prisons.
Mm.
And essentially, from what I've heard, if you get arrested, you're going to prison, period. Mm. There's not really a functional court system in place. And so, any accusation that comes up can lead to some very bad outcomes for the person being accused unfairly. So, there's trade-offs to what's happened there, certainly. Not an ideal situation, but the way, from what I've heard, how the country was compared to how the country is now and how happy, the citizens of El Salvador are for having an opportunity at a pretty, a regular life with a functional economy, at this point, the trade-offs seem to be beneficial, leaning towards the beneficial side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So along with all of that, the homicide rate has dropped from 38 people per 100,000 down to the statistic I found was 1.9. Mm-hmm. So that's a 20x difference from what it is now to what it was.
Mm.
And recently I saw a tweet that it's down to 1.
Oh, wow.
So that's 30. The homicide rate used to be 38 times higher. And that was 6 years ago.
Mm.
Wow. Mm. So he managed to change everything in 6 years.
In 6 years, yeah. So then that's the safety side of things. That's the cultural changes that have happened. That's created economic opportunity for El Salvadorians and investment money to come in and really start to begin developing the country in terms of infrastructure with roads as well as buildings, real estate investments, those types of things.
Mm.
And then there's the Bitcoin side of things.
Yeah.
So the president, Bukele, made Bitcoin legal tender in September of 2021. Along with that, he gave this each citizen of El Salvador $30 worth of Bitcoin, a wallet with $30 worth of Bitcoin, just to start to get people used to using Bitcoin as a currency and seeing it as a good investment for the country. And the country has bought over 6,000 Bitcoin to date. It's like 6,400 Bitcoin to date. And their profit, unrealized profit on that's over $700 million, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So so because of the Bitcoin friendliness of the country, Bitcoiners are starting to go there. Mm. Along with the legal tender status and the culture starting to adopt this. I didn't look this up to confirm this, but I've heard, and I've from reputable sources, that there's no capital gains tax on selling your Bitcoin in the country, which is a huge deal for people who have realized significant gains in their Bitcoin over time. And there's no property tax, which makes it a very attractive place for property investments.
Yeah.
So between those things, a lot of Bitcoiners are starting to congregate there. And because of the wealth and because of the intellectual capacity of a of your typical Bitcoiner, I guess, they are really starting to have an impact on the culture in their areas and the economy of these areas, really focused on sustainable local development and having a very long-term vision of things. Within the Bitcoin community, there's a discussion of time preference. So having a low time preference means a person is more future looking and has a more long-term vision of investments and relationships, while a high time preference is more of a immediate satisfaction looking thing.
Yeah.
And because the differences in the types of currencies, so with a fiat dollar system, whether it's New Zealand dollar, US dollar, that the value of that dollar just goes down over time because of inflation. Because they just keep printing money. And that because of that, the value of Bitcoin keeps going up because it's got a fixed supply. And so Bitcoiners see this opportunity to say, okay, I can take one type of currency that's always devalued over time.
Yeah.
And buy a currency that has only increased in value over time. That's a good investment to make. And the longer I can hold on to that investment, the more I'm gonna be able to do with that. So that's the attitude that's going into El Salvador right now with the Bitcoin community. They're saying, okay, long-term vision, over the long term, what can we turn this into?
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. Yeah. And needless to say, I've taken a lot of time to learn about Bitcoin over the past 6, 7, 8 years. And so going to El Salvador and being around other Bitcoiners who get it, who understand, who've also put that time into learning about this new technology, it's really, really refreshing.
Sounds very exciting. Like when you talk, we can see your excitement. You know, I know that people cannot see you, but obviously something that you really value and feels like you found your passion, right?
It's as soon as I got there, it was just
like for you,
what's
right?
happening there. Being surrounded by Bitcoiners, being surrounded by optimistic people who are excited and seeing opportunity, economic opportunity, opportunity to really create something. It's palpable there. You just, it's kind of just, you feel it when you get
you
there.
You feel it,
And did, did you use your, like, as in, do you use it as a form of currency when you were there?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I downloaded a Lightning wallet, which is a way to very quickly use Bitcoin to pay for things using your phone. So it's very similar to using PayWave or your phone for PayWave. Instead, it's transferring Bitcoin from one wallet to another wallet. It is faster than immediate, it seems like.
Oh, wow.
Because it's Yeah, the Lightning Network is built on top of Bitcoin. It's not on the Bitcoin blockchain.
Yeah.
It's called a layer two. And that allows for the immediate transfer of funds. While Bitcoin, it's every 10 minutes, those transactions get processed. Lightning is as fast as you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Wow, amazing.
It's really cool to be, because that was the first time I've used Bitcoin as tender. Paying with Bitcoin like that. And yeah, that's becoming Square, the payment system Square, that's now being used on the Square worldwide.
Wow.
So that's very cool.
Yeah.
And when you, I was curious because you said, I arrived there and, you know, I felt very good in El Salvador. And because the show is about making yourself at home, did you feel at home when you arrived there? And what are your plans for the future? Like, will we still have you as a co-host?
Yeah. As of now, I plan to just go back a couple times a year to do business and help with the design of the Agrahood.
Yeah.
I'm also consulting with other land developers to do sustainable land development.
Yeah.
Those with that low time preference approach to developing land that want to really, one of the ideas in Bitcoin is to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
Because the fiat system doesn't really allow for that to happen, while the Bitcoin, because it accrues value over time, does. Mm-hmm. I'm tapping into that Bitcoin ethos of the low time preference legacy land development, helping people figure out how to sustainably manage the land there, which is beautiful soil, beautiful volcanic, high nutrient soil, lots of sunshine, it's quite very warm. The development where I'm starting, that I talked about, it's very, very warm there.
It's quite warm, right? You said that.
When I was there, it was pretty uncomfortably warm. So I'm in no rush to move there quite yet. I did make some trips up into the mountains, and those were fantastic. Mm. However, there, you know, I'm in no rush to kind of isolate myself from English-speaking peers. Mm. I've spent enough time being a foreigner in foreign-speaking countries
right?
That don't speak English.
And
I'm still very happily settled in New Plymouth right now.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Good news.
So there's a Bitcoin conference, quite a large Bitcoin conference in El Salvador in November. Mm. So I'm on the fence of whether I'm going to make that trip again, because it's a long flight to get there.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah, it's quite exhausting. And now that the weather is starting to break here in New Plymouth, it's quite easy to just say, I'm going to stick around here for a bit more.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah.
So you don't know yet if you'll make the travel in November, right?
No, I haven't bought. I looked at the tickets a couple of days ago, and it would work out. Mm. It's just a big trip.
It is a big trip.
I just got back from a big trip.
Yeah, curious. I mean, how many hours and how many planes are you changing from here to
this one? El Salvador doesn't look as bad as the last one. The last time I went, I flew from New Plymouth to San Salvador through Auckland and San Francisco. I had a 13-hour layover in San Francisco.
Wow.
I had two overnight flights in a row.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay.
It was a big...
And you obviously you didn't go business, right?
No. No, I don't have that much Bitcoin.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
no. Not yet.
But I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah. But it's quite a big trip, like you said, right? El Salvador is quite far away. And
And also, you know, the Bitcoin, I mean, it plummeted and then it increased over the years. And I think, like, coming from, you know, where, like, in Singapore and things, people stopped buying Bitcoin and stuff for a period of time. Would you say it's still something that if a person has never bought it, would it be something that they should invest in?
I'm not here to give financial advice. All I can say is that learning about Bitcoin, what it is, and potentially finding out why it's important as an intellectual exercise, it's very rewarding.
Okay.
That's all I can say about that. I'm actually, so this morning I finished revising my first draft for a novel I'm writing to educate people about Bitcoin. I'm really excited about that.
Amazing.
Yeah. So hopefully soon there will be a pretty entertaining way to go through this process of learning about Bitcoin that I can take credit for. But yeah, I'm in no position to offer anybody financial advice.
Yeah. It was just, in your opinion.
I even in when I'm not on the microphone, I typically avoid talking about the Bitcoin market and the Bitcoin price. Instead, enjoy talking about what it is and why it's important as a technology.
And I know that you mentioned when we had our chat the other day about El Salvador becoming a new Singapore. You said something about
that. Yeah, exactly. You brought up Singapore and I was like,
we have somebody from Singapore here and I'm sure she's curious to know more about that.
One of the talking points of that I bring up with El Salvador is the fact that the stated goal is to make El Salvador the Latin American Singapore. A fintech financial technology hub for the Americas. And so one of the steps that's being taken to accomplish that, on top of adopting Bitcoin, creating Bitcoin-friendly policies, is attracting cryptocurrency businesses. So Tether is a company that issues things that are called stable coins. So these are tokens that are worth pegged to a one US dollar. Gosh, I wish I knew how many dollars they've issued into the cryptocurrency issue. I'll look that up real quick.
Or maybe we can also share afterwards.
Yeah, stablecoins are really important for a number of reasons for cryptocurrency and the population in general. One being that because it's a very liquid way for there to be US dollars in the cryptocurrency ecosystems. So transferring from one cryptocurrency to another cryptocurrency, so buying Bitcoin with Tether or selling Bitcoin to get the dollars worth. It's much more efficient to do that from one cryptocurrency to another. Another value of having stable coins is for people who live in developing countries that experience inflation, double-digit inflation rates, hyperinflation. It allows their citizens to get rid of their local currencies and buy a US dollar, which undergoes inflation, but at a much lower rate than the typical developing country does. So it offers financial freedom as well as financial, a bit more financial security and stability for people who live in developing countries. So that's talking about Tether and stable coins. So Tether is building a headquarters in El Salvador right now.
Wow.
So that's a big deal.
So we talked about food, obviously. We talked about people in El Salvador. Is there any other topic that we can talk maybe about? The language is Spanish, right?
It is Spanish.
Spanish. And
do you speak Spanish?
Poquito.
Un poquito.
A little bit.
Would have been nice to have Clara here, you know, and she can talk with you a little bit in Spanish.
Yeah, and I was very inspired once visiting on my last trip to begin my Duolingo adventure into Spanish, and I have not yet taken that up, unfortunately. So to date, it looks like there are $175 billion worth of Tether tokens in circulation.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. It's not just a few million dollars or anything.
Yeah.
It's $175 billion.
Wow. And I really like that you said that it will be a shelter for women built there.
The House of Life, right?
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And there are a lot of women who are going through a lot of challenges, I imagine, in El Salvador. They are still, or it was more in the past?
Because of the gang activities that were there, there have been a lot of damage done to society.
Okay.
And of course, the more vulnerable in the society.
Yeah.
I'm sure sex trafficking was quite the prevalent issue going on there during those times.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you can build that for women there. It's not so much needed.
Yeah, the woman that's in charge of that, her name's Claudia, and she is one of the most special women I've ever met
amazing.
In my life. Yeah, she's in her upper 40s, something like that. She is a native El Salvadorian.
Okay.
Her family is quite connected politically. They own, they're involved in industry there, her family is. And she spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley, on the tech scene in San Francisco and Silicon Valley, and then spent time in Austin, Texas, which is kind of the new Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So she's got a lot of really incredible connections that are very technologically focused and future looking. As well as financially well-to-do. So it that kind of situation with the connections creates a lot of opportunities to build some very special things. And so she's got a very colorful past of spiritual explorations of various kinds with, Tibetan Buddhism and spending lots of time in Tibet. Mm. And then indigenous cave tribes in Colombia, and she's very, very spiritually tuned in, it seems. I say she summoned me. She manifested my arrival.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
I kind of felt that way.
Amazing.
It's quite magical.
Yes.
There's a certain energy about her. Wow. So yeah, she's in charge of this. I'm not sure how involved she's been in with the House of Life, the original version of it, the first one, but I know she's spearheading getting it at that development that I'm working at.
Yeah.
And really her vision is to use the development I'm working on as the kind of the first version of this and using this as the model to build out around the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't talk about it and I didn't look it up, but the growing the food on that land is also really important. Growing local food's important wherever you are.
Yeah.
But especially in a place like El Salvador. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, there are a lot of fruits because you said it's very hot.
Yeah.
So tropical, I would be so tropical fruit, and it's amazing. I'm really looking forward to go there and eat some.
It's not easy to find local produce there, believe it or not.
Is it?
Wow.
No, so food security is a major issue. About almost half the population is unable to consistently access sufficient nutritious food. I just looked this up. Which is, horrible.
Yeah.
Mm.
Where do they import their foods from?
I heard, and I'm trying to look this up real quick, that the majority of their food comes from Guatemala.
Oh. Okay.
And during COVID, that became a very, very significant issue. Mm. They import 20% of their food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Or,
obviously for a small country, if you don't have enough food, I imagine they import mainly from America or maybe overseas, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's for a developing country without a lot of money to spend.
Mm.
It's not a good situation when a poor country doesn't have access to food, period.
To food, yeah. Mm.
And depends on neighboring countries to buy food from.
Mm. Yeah, and maybe next time when you go there, you can take like a kiwi fruit tree or a feijoa tree. I imagine it will grow quite well, maybe a feijoa, because it's in summer. I don't know. Just an idea.
Yeah, I don't think their biosecurity laws are as tight as New Zealand's are.
Yeah.
yeah, so you can take something, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who knows?
But yeah, growing food there is going to be a very important thing moving forward. And especially with a country with such great soil and sunshine and rain.
And like, job opportunities. You
exactly.
Know,
So, yeah, great discussion about El Salvador, and was amazing to hear more about your story and how life is there in El Salvador. Yeah. And we were so curious before that, you know, we didn't even know that it's so much improvement and so many things happening. So thank you for sharing that, Brian.
It's my pleasure. And I'll share some links. While I was there, I got interviewed by a Bitcoin influencer person. He's a speaker and writer. His name is Michael Ruiz. He's kind of a personality on Twitter and the social media. So it's more focused on the work I'm interested in doing there.
Yeah.
So there's a YouTube interview with that, and I can share the real estate company that I'm involved with there that's working on the development. And I really hope the listeners take some time to learn about how cool El Salvador is and what's happening there, because it's a very exciting place. The surf's amazing. So for all the Taranaki surfers,
that's a good point.
All the Taranaki surfers out there. I've heard multiple conversations from surfers about El Salvador.
And
I was kind of want to pipe in and be like, "Oh, what else do you know about El Salvador?"
Yeah.
Take the time to learn about El Salvador. Make a trip there. Take a Lightning wallet and spend some Bitcoin over there.
Yes.
If you have it. And I really also hope that the conversation inspired listeners to go out and learn about Bitcoin.
Yeah. And hopefully, one day we can have also somebody directly from El Salvador to our show.
That'd be great.
If you know somebody.
If there's a listener out there, come on in.
Yeah, come in and make yourself at home with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here, Ren, with us.
No worries.
The first time that Ren was joining us as a co-host, so hopefully she will be here more if you enjoyed it.
Yeah, hopefully. And the last time, just before we end, the last time we spoke, you were talking about your dream analysis project that you're working on. Yeah. So is there anything, are you still exploring that?
It's taken a bit of a backseat. I've not been dreaming lately.
Maybe all your dreams came true, right?
Honestly, I feel like a lot of the messages from my subconscious were saying these changes need to happen. I kind of took care of them and I don't really need to dream right now. It doesn't seem like. But a few friends have mentioned dreams to me, and we do some AI analysis with them, and still a very fun thing to explore.
It's amazing because I think from the moment I met you, I have a lot of dreams. So it's also nice to look in my dreams.
It's a fun way of
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks for the opportunity.
It's nice being
a guest again.
always, right? And hopefully next time maybe we have Ren. Have an amazing Monday and see you next time. Same place. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.